Number one independent television network presents the following sports exclusive.
A crowd of close to 50,000 people is waiting to see not a football game, but America's fastest growing sport, professional soccer.
Soccer became a carnival of picnics, parties, togetherness, and fun.
Hello, welcome to this edition of the soccer-specific podcast, the Sounders Radio Hour. I'm your host, Sam Hardy. After a long break, alongside me, Will Pearson, Ben Johnson. Hello, boys.
Hi.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah, it's our quarterly podcast. We're an academic journal now. We've collected a bunch of wonderful articles by our hosts here. We're ready to publish. So, fellas, what do we think of the season so far? We're about 12 or 13 or 10 or 11 or 12 games in, depending on which team you're talking about. And, yeah, I mean, it's hard to really have a conclusive view of any particular team. So I guess I'll start off by asking, what do we actually know
at this point? What is real?
Yeah. What do we know about the league, about any particular team?
And how do we know it? I think we can say a few things.
Okay.
I think the most fun happens in the Eastern Conference. I think there's been a switch.
Narrative.
Who are the funnest teams right now?
That's true, Ben. You have been talking a lot about how much you enjoy watching DC United and the New England Revolution. You know, like every week you're
my league pass team.
Like you're loving those games. Ugh,
just so fun to see 1-0 games all the time.
Binary.
Can we clarify a little bit? When you say fun games, are we talking about like high scoring? Are we talking about like entertaining, like battles?
What do I mean by
that? Arguably, I think you could still look at a lot of the teams in the Western Conference and say, like, those are really good games. They've regressed to more of the 1-0, you know, like 2-1 grind out victories, as opposed to like one team like really exerting its dominant will on the other and playing a particular style.
Yeah, so I guess I like the approach that both teams like Atlanta and I think Chicago are going for, where they are just coming out blazing, right? They're kind of doing, I don't know if it's quite right to compare them to like Dortmund. How they just come out and they go for it. You know, they like send dudes up the field. They're long balls. They're fast. They're young. Atlanta has scored 24 goals, most in the league. Chicago just a few behind them. I think Toronto is actually really fun to watch too, because Jozy Altidore is playing pretty great ball. And so...
yeah, he hasn't missed a PK in one
game.
Well,
hey, man. Clint Dempsey missed a PK. Why didn't – what? Okay, we'll maybe get to that later. But that's – to me, that's been really fun, because we in MLS, I think especially over the last number of years as the league does get better and progress, one reaction to that is to be a very conservative defensive team. I'm thinking like San Jose over the past few years.
No, San Jose just
But on purpose, right? And like, you know, a bunch of teams sort of play that way, and the Sounders are kind of playing that way at the moment, like very possession based. They changed a little bit in the first half of the last game against RSL, which we can talk about. But that's what I mean when I mean fun. It's the, you know, they're going for it. They're trying to go fast and score goals, and I appreciate that. And that's fun is happening out east lately. Although Dallas is pretty fun, although they've only played like 4 games so far. Sam, right. they're in the 10 games only played zone because of their Champions League stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's
just
one thing I know.
It still feels like there's just so much time left in the season, though. You know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're a third-ish of the way into the season, right. You know? And if you look at just total number of points, you do the standings just by total points, there's not a huge spread, you know? I mean, there's a 10-point spread in the East from first to ninth or so. In the West, it's about the same. And so that's, you know, a three game losing streak by Toronto and a 3-game winning streak by Philadelphia, and all of a sudden they're tied on the same number of points, right? So it's not it's not like teams have truly separated themselves yet at this point early in the year.
Do you enjoy that?
Do I enjoy that?
Yeah, I mean, like, to both of you, I think that this is a point that I harped on a bunch last year, and that we bring up over and over again. But, like, to know that on any given day, like, you know, like, Sam, you started this segment off by saying, what do we know? Like, what can we empirically state about MLS right now? And, I mean, Ben, you just said, like, look, any given team, like, three good weeks in a row, three bad weeks in a row, top of the table to bottom table or reverse. Like, do you enjoy that, like, sort of anarchy, or do you want, like, a better cohesive sense of, like, this team is good and is at the top, or this team is bad and is fighting to get out of the bottom?
Yeah, that closeness is due to where we are in the season, right? Like, if Toronto keeps playing as well as they are, and let's just say Montreal, who's currently in 10th place in the East, keeps playing as well as they are, they're going to separate, and then a 3-game slide or a winning streak one way or the other isn't going to make a difference. But to sort of actually answer your question, I don't know. It's a tough one, because in some, we've talked about this before, in some ways it makes especially the early part of the regular season feel less meaningful, because everyone just sort of muddles around and then they figure things out partway through the year, and then they start playing, you know, their best soccer or the style they want, or you bring in that extra player that makes it work. And so, I don't know, I tend to view now, especially after last year with what happened with the Sounders, I tend to view the first half of the season as just enjoying individual players almost, and seeing what players are, say, on the Sounders, like watching Christian Roldan, like, continue to grow and be fun, and, like, watch Jovan Jones play well, and, like, feel out a little bit of what's going on in the rest of the league before the spiciness and the meat come in partway through. So it's still enjoyable for me. I understand your point, but it's just different.
No, that's fair. Like, I really enjoyed watching the central defenders for Minnesota United
in the
four games that they played. And, you know, every week, like, picking a new favorite central defender that I had never met before and would never see again.
It's like center back Tinder or something. You just
swipe right, swipe left, swipe left.
And by that time, the goals are in.
I think you see this a bit with the Sounders every year, which is, and this is a very particular year where this is the case, where, you know, Garth Lagerwey's big moves were, you know, all the Sounders Sounders fans were expecting these big kind of international moves, right? And instead, they used their allocation money, their GAM, their TAM, on Harry Ship and Will Bruin, which is, you know, that's oatmeal with a little bit of maple syrup.
Or you mean game-winning goal scorer, Harry Deflection Ship.
I think both of his goals had, like, some serious, like, luck involved with them, right?
Yeah.
One of which was, like, somebody passed it to him and hit it so hard that he was lucky enough that his foot was directed right into the corner. The first goal of the season. Anyway, I don't even think Garth would tell you that those are his final moves of the season. You know, I don't think he thinks that the roster is done. But every year we've gotten this kind of strategy of, and it makes sense because the European and you know North American leagues are not aligned with each other, to wait until the summer window to have the largest pool of players accessible to them. So there's this strategy of just tread water until, you know, July or June, I guess. And it kind of means that the Sounders, it kind of feels like we're just, you know, stay close, you know, stay near the red line and hope things don't get too out of sorts. And even if they do get out of sorts, you'll probably win MLS Cup.
Yeah.
So how do we... MLS Cup
on penalties with no shots.
Can we judge... Is it too early to judge Will Bruin and Harry Ship and Svensson and the new additions already?
I don't think it matters. I mean, I'd love to judge people regardless of...
We're a podcast. That's what we
do. Regardless
of what the facts are.
I mean, Gustav Svensson, I don't think anybody would have thought he would have been... He's probably up there with minutes played on the team, wouldn't you say?
He's played in every game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've played him in nearly every position.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting goalkeeping minutes in the Open Cup, I think. Yeah, he's been fine, right? Landfill?
Yep.
Popping in there?
He's been okay.
Oh, yeah. What's his best position? Do we know? Is he
on the field?
Well, hey.
I think I like him at right back the most because it means that we don't need him at center back or... defensive midfielder.
This
feels like sacrilege to say it, but I really enjoyed him at center mid, even though I was really unhappy that Roldan and Ozzy were both on the field while he was playing center mid. I extremely disagreed with the choice to move Roldan to right back. But I thought that Svensson did a really good job in center mid.
Yeah, all right.
I'm not advocating for him to see more time there, unless it's filling in for an injury. But like I thought he brought a lot to that position. You know, I think he's been great every place that he's played in. You know, it's obvious that he's not a center back, and I think that we have better options at right back. Hi, Brad Evans.
Oh yeah.
But, like, I'm not upset when I see him on the field, and I think that he's got great tactical awareness. I think he's got a lot of skill, and I love the way that he looks to, like, open up the field with bypassing the middle, you know, with his passes and switches and whatnot.
That's something that the Sounders finally did in the last game against RSL was they tried some long balls over the top instead of trying this like slow buildup of possession all the way. And there were some pretty good chances, right? Like Jordan Dempsey put Morris through once really well. And I think if not for a couple really good saves by Raimondo, that game would have been 2-3 at halftime. The second half, they slowed down a fair amount, the Sounders did, but you know, it's like the third game in a week and they're all old and tight.
Right. But they're not old, though.
What's the average age of the Sounders?
I'm just looking at what the lineups we've been putting out, and we've had a lot of Tony Alfaro playing center back.
Yeah, that's right.
We've had a lot of Jordy Dellum. Will Bruin is not a spring chicken, but he's 27. Harry Ship is a mere...
Will Bruin's only 27?
Yeah. Harry Ship's only 25.
Oh, Jesus.
Roldan's been playing nearly every week.
Yeah,
Jordan Morris is playing nearly every week.
Yeah.
We've even seen Tolo a little bit.
Yeah.
Henry Wingo has gotten some spot minutes. So it's funny. I'm kind of a hypocrite because I always say in the off season, like, I wish we would just play the kids. And it's like, all right, well, this is what playing the kids looks like.
They kind of are.
It's a lot of mixed bag.
Oh, it's interesting.
So are you... Are you willing to take this for the long-term gain of next year and the year after?
Ask Real Salt Lake fans that question. Because
ask Dallas FC fans that question.
Well, that's asking them later in their narrative, because RSL fans are, I think they have three or four players that are gone because the U20 World Cup is happening right now, which kind of speaks to how young that roster is. I mean, they have Glad, they have Brooks Lennon, they have a couple other guys that are out, you know, because they're performing at the international level at that age group.
Yeah, but I mean, aren't,
I think we're agreeing with each other.
Okay, I guess I'm maybe, I think I'm struggling because RSL is awful right now.
Well, I don't think we're, I'm saying we're not that better great teams of the either, league,
you know.
And part of it is because we have been using, and I don't know if it's like Garth being like super, you know, strategic and playing the kids, or if it's, we don't want to spend our big, you know, our big money in the off season / we're waiting till Brad Evans and Roman Torres get healthy.
Oh yeah, him. Forgot about him.
And whatever happened to Aaron Kovar, by the way?
Oh, he's dead.
What happened? He died, did he?
I mean, he was training in the off season.
They stripped him for parts, and they're using him to rebuild a couple other players.
It's a hard way to go. I don't know what's going on with him.
Well,
yeah, his official team picture actually is just him up on cinder blocks now.
Mm-hmm.
At Starfire.
So, question: I've been monitoring the chatter online. And there's a lot of people who feel like the Sounders have been hard done by bad luck and questionable officiating decisions. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Oh.
Whatever.
Oh, welcome to MLS.
Yeah, right? I know. I'm with you on that one, Will.
Like, I get it. Like, yes, we're fans. We watch the Sounders probably more closely than other teams in the league. And we have a vested interest in watching our own team win. And we're going to see things through a certain lens. But, like, whatever. Every team gets screwed out of calls and points. And, like, it's... No. No. Like, you make your own luck.
Yeah. Is it true that the Sounders lead the league in, like, times hitting the post? I feel like I've read that. I've read that somewhere.
Is that an Opta stat right there?
Yeah, they have that Woodworks per 90, I think.
the Audi Woodworks per 90.
Thirsty Wood per 90. Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I think I was sort of checked out for a little bit of the league just watching highlights in this last week. I watched a bunch of games. Yeah, every team has ridiculous calls go for and against them. It's just part of the league at the moment. So I think it's a pretty flimsy excuse. I actually don't think the Sounders are all that bad at the moment. They have these, like, good sparks and good pieces. And I don't think they're, like, that bad. There's some injuries and they're not playing great, but I don't think they're a bad team. That makes sense.
I think I have a really hard time reconciling the argument of MLS is MLS and any given team can win any game on any day with, oh, we're getting really unlucky and we're getting screwed out of games and we have a really hard schedule right now. You know, like, those things all can't be true at the same time. You're either winning games or you're not. And at the end of the day, like, I, you know, most of the time, I don't think you have extenuating circumstances to point at. Every team is going to deal with injuries. Every team is going to deal with international call-ups. Every team is going to go on hot streaks and cold streaks. And That's just the fact of the league.
No, I think that's true. You're right. And the Sounders have played more games away. They've played 7 games away versus 5 games at home. I mean, that's not a huge deal, right?
They've been kind of crap at home so far. I don't think that's...
2-1-2. 2 wins, 1 loss, 2 ties at home. I mean, it's not sterling, but it's not bad.
That's 5. It's like fine. Dropped.
Yeah, that's it's like not eighth. Great. It's like 8th place. Good.
Yeah, that's. I'd say. I mean, and plus, like, I think particularly MLS is a league of collect your points at home and do what you can on the road. I mean, look at Houston. They have not won a game. Or tie. They haven't gotten a point on the road yet.
And they're in.
Oh, playing the Portland 2015.
Yeah, I know.
Strategy.
And yet they're in 6th place, like overall.
That's crazy. Because then you look at Colorado, who's in last in the West, equally no points on the road, but a worse, much worse home record, and they're in last. Oh.
Well, that's because they're bad.
Yeah. Who picked them for the biggest drop?
And last year was a fluke.
Somebody did. I think we all did.
Yeah, I didn't think they would be this bad, though. I thought Gashi was going to be better.
Gosh, he sure looked...
No.
All right, so give me 3 teams that... aren't as good or as bad as you think that they've shown so far.
Teams that aren't as good or as bad.
Let's each do a good team and a bad team.
That's fair.
A team that we think is okay. Yeah.
So like cool. Yeah, like so far, because I mean, do we think? I'll just put it to you this way: do we think Atlanta is as good as they've been so far?
Because
no.
What?
No.
You think they're worse or they're better than they have been so far?
I think that they are going to regress to the mean. I think that as the season goes on, they are going to hit the grind, and they're going to deal with injuries, and like we're talking like, oh, they're so much fun, they're exciting, this is awesome, and it's true, they are, but I don't think that they've dealt with like roster depth realities, and I don't think that we've seen them like have to bounce back from like a struggle. And until we see them hit that wall, I don't think that we can judge them as being that great.
I don't know, man. I think they might actually be better than they look.
I think they're going to be badass once their star striker returns.
Brad Guzan?
Yeah, Brad Guzan.
Yeah.
just shoot for his legs, boys.
Oh, man. Okay, well, so that's your team who's not as good as they look. I'm going to say that Sporting Kansas City is the team for me that's not as good as they look.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, how are they, well, first-ish, they've played 3 more games than Dallas, and they have 3 more points than them. So that, to me, that is pumping up their record a little bit. They've played tied for the most games. Yeah, but isn't what's his name's like really injury prone? Ike Opara, right?
Sure.
He is. That was the whole deal, which is why they're surprising so early, is that he's usually a bit fragile, but he's been not broken so far this year, and so they've been able to be pretty stout.
Yeah, but here's
the thing. They don't score goals. They have as many goals as the Sounders, and the Sounders can't score goals either.
Yeah, we're bad. No, here's the deal. They're gonna sell Abdul Salam, and they're gonna bring in someone that can they are committed to Graham Zuzi at right back, and so they've got like this awesome right back sitting on their bench, like dying. And they are not going to be able to turn down offers for him when it means that they could get a ton of money and probably an international spot. I don't know what their international spot situation looks like. I'm just making stuff up. But like, they could make bank for that dude and bring in a player that will get minutes. They have valuable options that they will convert into progress.
I wonder what team could use a dependable right back. I can't really think of any. I hear you. And actually,
DC United.
Well, sure. And the Sounders. That dude Gerso is pretty good, too. That's a reason that they might keep being good, is he's pretty good and gives them like a second goal scoring homie. So you don't have to depend on newly minted U.S. citizens.
Or when he plays against the Sounders, Dominic Dwyer gives him a three goal scoring homie.
I know, he's good, right?
He put on a good show.
Good show. Yeah, so that's the caveat for me, is if he keeps being a consistent goal-scoring duder, a goal-dangerous duder, then they won't fall off. But I don't think they're as good as they've been so far. That's my take. Sam, you gotta pick one.
False good. Yeah, I'm not gonna take your Sporting Kansas City pick because I think it's pretty solid. I'm gonna flip it around a little bit. Oh. I think that Atlanta is actually even better than they've looked.
Attaboy.
Because
that's what I'm talking about.
Again, they have their returning striker. They're gonna open Mercedes Benz Stadium.
Here we go.
Garza is going to get healthy. I think they're actually, Will, you were talking about it. They're going through the adversity right now. And so I think they may have taken their poison pill a little bit early in the season. And they're actually still producing goals, which has been really impressive. They're seeing these other players on the team start to step up, and even to the point where my dude, Tommy Thompson reincarnate, Andrew Carlton actually saw the field this last week. So I think we're going to start to see their younger guys kind of fill in the gaps, and they've done a really good job of like signing a lot of promising young players. And so, I like to hate on them over the off season, like heading into their first season, but they're just really fun to watch. And I like as you said, Ben, their kind of balls to the wall approach is refreshing in a league that has a lot of conservative NCAA coach minds.
Yeah.
Kind of more defensive, more central. More pack the box. And let's see, who's worse than they've shown? The West is kind of a shit show. There's really nothing to really look at over here, right?
Yeah. Does Andrew Carlton do the Carlton dance after he scores?
God, I hope so. I think we're going to see Chicago take a step back.
Maybe. Oh, no way.
But I do think Wee Dax has been pretty great for them. And, man, it's crazy. You can tell. You can just see it. Like, the New York Red Bulls are like Chris Martin without Gwyneth Paltrow, you know?
Oh, wow.
And just like, you can. They're walking around and, you know, they're wearing the same cool Red Bull t-shirts. They're still going on their world tours and they look the same, but there's just something missing. There's some sort of goop inside that is missing inside of them. And it's Dax McCarty. And he was the heart and soul of that New York Red Bulls team. So, anyway, that doesn't really prove my point. But I think Chicago have been overperforming and over-indexing a touch.
Ah, man, I kind of think that they're in a similar boat with Atlanta, where I think
they could be even better.
Yeah. I don't think their peak is as high as Toronto, so I don't think they're going to win the East. But, yeah, I don't know. I like what I see with those guys. Yeah, man. All right, you want a team that's underperforming and is going to do better? I actually do think it's the Sounders. I think they've been clearly underperforming, and I think they will do better in the second half of the season. I think that they're going to get having Brad Evans back was a big help. They looked immediately a lot better, and I like to think that first half against RSL was a little shake, shimmy, wake up to get the style going. There'll be an international break coming up. Like, I know Dempsey will go and play, and like Morris will probably get called up, but he probably won't play a lot, so it'll actually be restish time for him. I don't know.
He strikes me as like a Bruiserino late sub for the national team.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably not going to start in these really important World Cup qualifiers. That's just what I think. I think Lodeiro is going to break out of his funk, because he's in a bit of a funk for whatever reason. But I think he's a lot better than he has played so far.
I think we're seeing what you see in Major League Baseball with new pitching, which is like there's a rookie pitcher and he goes 6-0 after getting called up from the minors and then loses 4 games in a row. And everyone's like, oh, like the shine has worn off. And it's like, no. Like, there was a scout that realized that he had the same out pitch and used it over and over again. And the scout figured it out. And now every team after that is
doing
the exact same thing. Yeah. Is telling their batters to, like, look out for that pitch. And so it's on the Sounders to reprogram a little bit the way they use Lodeiro, because I think He was doing this amazing thing where he would just move all over the field and insert himself in specific ways. And I think teams are just, I think they're daring the Sounders to to move the ball around a little bit more. And I don't think the Sounders are doing that well enough. And so they're just kind of man marking him out of the game, which is kind of on the Sounders to like course correct at that point.
They just have to play a lot faster.
Yes.
I think that's a way to shake the man marking thing, you know, just faster possession. They can still go for that change the point of attack, like try some through balls, try some big switches. And if they don't work, at least you kick the ball like way far away and you can recover quickly, you know. I think that increasing the speed of play would be really good for the Sounders. You know, they got some fast dudes.
Super specific question, but Jovan Jones, thoughts so far?
Oh, Mensch. He looks great. I think he's been looking great.
Ooh, did you watch the Chicago game?
Oh, when he... No.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's personally responsible for that Chicago game, almost specifically, like entirely him. Like maybe even all three goals were his fault in the Chicago game, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. Well, 3 of the 4, I want to say. And it's unfortunate, and it goes back to push him up the field in the midfield and, you know, relieve him of a little bit of responsibility. But
yeah. Well, it's a problem, too, that it's really obvious when he's having an off game, because up to this point, there's really no one else that can step in and provide that same role.
Yeah.
It's him. I'm not saying in like the left back position, but you know, maybe Brad Evans, now that he's healthy, and if he stays healthy, you could just like switch all the Jovan duties over to the right side. Maybe he can hang back a little bit more and whatever. Or maybe Harry Shipp like gets a little confidence from his wizard deflector goal, and we'll start, you know, charging a little bit more. Because everybody's going to have an off game, you know? What? Yeah, deflect, I know. Are they the Dementors in Harry Potter? Is that right? Yeah, Harry Potter, deflector mentorship.
What is Brad Evans? What is he?
He's just a whole ball, angry, fired up man.
I don't even know what he is now. Like, he almost seems to be one of those like hockey specialist players now.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he's been doing spot duty in whatever the team has asked of him for 3 years.
Yeah.
And now he's healthy. And we don't need him at right back or center back anymore. And so he's Brad Evans healthy. He's Roman Torres healthy.
I know. I was really hoping that Fisher would take that role. Like, grab it by the lobo.
Yeah. I think that's been one of the reasons why the team hasn't been quite as good, is because we haven't really seen Ship, and there's been all these players that have been presented with an opportunity to kind of seize the day and seize the moment and step into a bigger role, the next step in their career, and they haven't been able to kind of capitalize as much as they probably would have liked. Fisher has had an opportunity. Jordy Dellum has had probably the biggest opportunity of any of the younger players. Perhaps Tony, formerly Clean Sheet or Alfaro. I mean, he needs a new nickname at this point, right?
Yeah, he does.
Dirty Sheets.
Dirty Sheets.
Oh.
Laundry Day.
Dirty Sheets Alfaro. Wingo had a hot second where he was, you know, the choice of the moment to start the season.
I know. I thought he was all right, actually.
And Torres, he's not a young player, but I know he's been injured, but, like, he's been terrible. Like,
yeah.
He's been absolutely terrible so far this year. Not tracking back. Not making that extra run, kind of stepping like way too quickly or not at all. It's been kind of a shit show for that player. It just seems like this team is still a little bit drunk off of the cup juice. And
cup syrup.
We'll see. See if they can recover. The cup juice. Any other additional thoughts before we head out?
Should we make a prediction? You know, that means it's a Seattle-Portland game. In Seattle, Schmetzer threw some gas on the fire when he what was his quote? He's like, I don't even – this is a really, like, accountant dad burn. He's like, you know, I don't even really know if Timber Joey is actually a professionally licensed – lumberman, or is he just a guy? I thought it was funny. I think he's just a guy.
Sometimes there's a timberman.
Yeah. I'll predict a score. I'm gonna say 3-2 Sounders. They shake it off. This is the breakout week, Will. It's a breakout week.
I'm going to go 2-2 draw. Another draw at home.
Oh.
Lots of goals, though.
Lots well, of that's fans something in good. The stands. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I think here's maybe a hotter take.
Oh.
Okay. What position do we need? Winger. Who do we have on the team that might just fill that role?
Aaron Kovar.
Jovan Jones. Put him in the midfield for God's sakes and bring in a new left back.
Thank you.
Put that man in the midfield. What are we waiting for? Until we get one in the summer transfer window, baby. Yeah, that's, I told you it's spicy. I know he is, but I think he would also be a really good winger, really good midfielder.
No, it's fun to watch him in that role at the international level with his national team.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
And then he drifts into the box and starts to take these like crazy shots from the outside of the box. It's like, oh, you can do that too? Oh, Happy learned how to putt. No, back to your point. Well, I want to see Garth like make a real interesting transaction that's not messing with the super draft rules, and it's not taking advantage of play like teams dumping their MLS like also rans Harry Ship, Will Bruin, and it's not picking up Alvaro Fernandez because he used to play for us. And it's not, you know, taking Jovan Jones off of Chicago's hands because, you know, they wanted to get rid of him for a super draft pick and they were opening up room for Brandon Vincent. I want to see a true Garth Lagerway, like international splash. South American splashy signing. Got a little bit of that with Lodiera last year. Let's see a little bit more. You've been here long enough. Prove it. We had that moment when you fired Siggy and we put all the pressure on you. So pressure's on again, my dude.
My dude. McGarth.
McGarth. All right. Well, that'll wrap her up. It'll just about center on down the old dusty road. Sam would say.
We're talking about the dude here.
Right. Okay. Well, everyone, just be safe at Rivalry Week. Like, don't do anything stupid. I'm going to drive to Portland.
Don't do that after the Heineken thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I am Sam Hardy, alongside me Will Pearson and Ben Johnson for the Sounder Specific Podcast, Soccer Specific Podcast, signing off.